Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we consider the thought of how to make the most of Christmas. I believe that God has a plan for the celebration of his son, and I believe that the Bible will help us to come into that we might have the most important season of the year as we celebrate together and to have a real life-changing experience for ourselves and for our loved ones, and how to make the most of Christmas. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the town. Not a sign of baby Jesus was anywhere to be found. The people were all busy with Christmas time chores, like decorating and baking and shopping in stores. No one sang "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed." Instead, they sang of Santa dressed up in bright red. Mama watched Martha Stewart. Papa drank beer from the tap. As hour upon hour, they wrapped gift after gift. When, what from the television did they suddenly hear? Except an ad, which told of a big sale at Sears. So away to the mall, they all flew like a flash, buying on credit, others with cash. And as they made their way home, their trip from the mall, did they think about Jesus? Oh no, not at all. Their lives were so busy with their Christmas time things, no time to remember Christ Jesus the King. There were presents to wrap and cookies to bake. How could they stop and remember who died for their sake? To pray to the Savior, they had no time to stop, because they needed more time to shop till they dropped. On Walmart, on Kmart, on Target, on Penny's, on Hallmark, on Zales, a quick lunch at Denny's. From the big stores downtown to the store at the mall, they would dash away and visit them all. And up on the roof, there rose such a clatter as Grandpa hung icicle lights up with his brand new stepladder. He hung lights that would flash, he hung lights that would twirl, yet he never once prayed to Jesus, the light of the world. So instead of being busy, overworked, and uptight, let's put Christ back into Christmas and enjoy some good nights. Amen, church? Amen. Now, friends, if we're not careful, Christmas takes on a life all of its own. One that is so driven and so demanding of our time, our energy, and our finances that we miss out on the sweet celebration of Christ's coming as the Savior of the world. After the Thanksgiving meal is finished, how quickly things begin to transition. With the turkey gone and the Christmas tree in place, like sprinters off the starting block, off we go in a running pace nonstop all the way through Christmas Eve. Regardless of the velocity of your everyday life, this time of the year is even more demanding. On top of our regular obligations, we have Christmas cards to write and send, office parties to attend, family gatherings of various kinds, gifts to purchase, wrap and deliver, meals to make, and cookies to bake. The one special time of the year when we should be flooded to overflowing with worship and overflowing with wonder, we're too exhausted to fully enter in. If you can relate in some way to the weariness and the busyness of all of this that we call Christmas, I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about how to make the most of this Christmas. I Googled the phrase, you know, they say that you can go online and find most anything, and that is true. You can ask Siri or you can go to Google. And I asked the question, and I Googled it, how to make the most of Christmas. To my surprise, I discovered that there were 2,100,000,000 results. So it lets me know that millions, if not billions of persons have been asking the question, how can I have a Christmas that is different from the ones I've experienced in the past? Here's the four top things that I found on my online search. Number one, 23 must-have toys to prevent Christmas morning tantrums. 50 new tech gifts for 2022. The third was 42 incredible gifts to give and to get. And number four was 25 best Christmas cookies. Now that sounded very good to me. Now, as crazy as all of this sounds and as commercial as it all sounds, once again, we as Americans, we fell for the pitch. 141 million Americans left their Thanksgiving meal to go door busting and Black Friday shopping. We spent $5.29 billion in less than 18 hours. Matter of fact, the stats have been updated since this figure, and they say it's closer to $9 billion we spent in 18 hours, the 141 million of us out shopping. Matter of fact, it is estimated that we will spend more than $942 billion this Christmas season. Christmas has simply evolved into a time of excess. In nearly every single category of life, excess is the way we live it. Financially, we spend ourselves into debt, not wanting disappointments and not wanting those tantrums on Sunday morning. I read an article that I thought was interesting. It says, the average American is going to gain between 7 and 10 pounds between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, isn't that exciting? I must acknowledge, when I got on the scale this morning, I'm already 3 pounds on the way. That's really depressing. Friends, what happens when we try all 25 cookies is the 3 to 5 to 7 pounds. DWI, driving while intoxicated, skyrockets every Christmas season. Matter of fact, I was appalled to hear that the greatest night apart from Christmas Eve for DWI was the night before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Eve. What are people looking for? What are they trying to get into their lives that they think that maybe a few drinks will accomplish? May I suggest to you this morning that maybe all of this excess spending, eating, and drinking is robbing us of the greater joy that we ought to experience this time of the year. There's a story that I came across a number of years ago. Some say it's an urban legend, others say it's based upon a real life experience from a family in Pennsylvania. Either way, the story goes like this. A young couple was having their little baby girl christened on Sunday morning. And so they invited the evening before, that Saturday evening, they invited a group of their closest friends to celebrate the blessed event that would happen in the morning. And so mom got that little girl all dressed up in her christening gown and laid her out on the bed there in the bedroom. The first guest arrived and, not wanting to wake up the baby, came in and placed her coat where but on the bed right over the baby. The next guest came and piled their coat where the other coat had been until guest after guest, and now the baby is underneath all of these jackets and coats. It was a cold evening, and so it was understandable that they were coming dressed for the weather. And suddenly, in the midst of their celebration, Mom said, "Now let me introduce to you the one that this night is all about." Went into the bedroom to get their little daughter to bring them out to their friends, only to find this little one had been smothered to death. And she let out the most, blood-curdling scream. And they wondered what was going on, only to find out that the very party that should have brought about a celebration of the baby's life was now responsible for the baby's death. Friends, I believe it is time to simply take Christmas and put it into a brand new context. Let me encourage you to place the sacred this Christmas above the secular. Now, the secular surrounds us, and in many ways, it's a fun part of the whole celebration that takes place. Nonetheless, let me encourage each and every one of us, as men and women of God, to place the sacred above the secular. I want you to stop and consider what percentage this morning for a few moments of your time, your energy, and money that will be spent this Christmas has anything to do at all with the birth of Jesus Christ. Think about that. How much time, energy, or money will be spent that has anything to do with the birth of Jesus Christ at all? Church, I would simply say to all of us this morning, let's keep the main thing, the main thing. You know, the term holiday literally means holy day. And it's become anything but holy day, but rather it's been robbed of its actual meaning. When we say holiday, we're really saying there's something holy, unique, and special about this day. Now, I encourage you to make sure that this upcoming season, called holiday by the world, is a holy day for us. I encourage you to call this holiday, this holy day, by its proper name, Christmas. I often hear people say to me, especially if I'm in a store, "Happy holidays," and I'll respond back to them, "And Merry Christmas." I want those individuals to know we're not celebrating anything other than the birth of Jesus Christ in reality this season for those of us that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And we're not ashamed to call it for what it is. This season is not a season whereby we're going to allow the secular to rob us of the sacred. This year, why not get some family and friends together and do what I think would be life-changing for you and for your neighborhood, and that is to Christmas carol in your neighborhood. Get a few friends together and say, tonight we'll go and carol at a few homes in my neighborhood, closest homes nearby, and then maybe a little later on in the week, we're going to go to your neighborhood, but we're going to go knock on some doors. We're going to let some people know that we've made some cookies, and we just want to stop by and say Merry Christmas and sing a couple of carols out in front of their home. It'll change your Christmas, and it will change theirs as well. Let me encourage you to use some of the money you normally would spend on your family to bless somebody that's not ordinarily on your Christmas list. Let me encourage you to make it a family decision. Get the family together, and then in a non-dictatorial way, ask the kids or even the grandkids, who should we include this year in our Christmas gifts? And I assure you that one less gift in the family will produce much greater joy than you have ever experienced in Christmases past. Let me encourage you to write a letter to someone who has influenced your life. You know, none of us are self-made individuals. All of us are who we are because somebody else has taken the time to help shape and form our lives. It starts with our parents, of course, and then extended family members, and then there's teachers, and there's pastors, and there's next-door neighbors, and there's employers and fellow employees. There's a whole host of individuals that have helped make us who we are, that we are today. With that in mind, I wrote a letter to Dr. James Allen. Some of you that have attended North Central University, you may know him. Dr. James Allen, long before he was a professor at the college, he was the pastor of my home church. He was my pastor when I was in junior high and senior high. And I was thinking to myself one day, I really want to honor him. And two things I did in that moment. Number one, I got a picture that I found of Dr. Allen, put it on Facebook, and I wrote a story just about his life and his influence and how he helped change the trajectory of my life as a young person, how he encouraged me into ministry and, you know, the very first Bible dictionary and things like that. He bought them and gave them to me just to set me on the course towards ministry. And I wanted him to know that the investment he made of his time in a junior high kid and a senior high kid has really made a difference. So I not only posted it, but I also sent him a letter. Dr. Allen passed away just a few days ago. His family told me that just hours before he died, as they gathered around his bed there in Texas, he said, "I want to talk to you about some people that have been in my life, and one of which was the Brooks family, of which I am a part." Friends, you never know what just a simple letter can do to someone that's, you know, really at a wit's end time in their life. And I've done the same with Lowell Lundstrom. I've done the same with Kurt Long. All three of these men are now in glory. But they, before they left, I wanted to make sure they understood that their influence on my life has been life-changing. And I want you to take this season, set aside a moment, out of all the busyness, all the things that we do, why not just, at least for one person, let me just encourage, just for one, sit down and write a letter, say, you know, what you've sown into my life has made a difference in my life. I am not the same, and I thank you for your investment of time, your investment of your love. The energy that you put forth and guide and direct in my life has made a difference. And friends, not only will it make a difference in their life, it'll make a difference in your life. Now you see, if you always do what you've always done, this Christmas is going to be just like all the others. If you buy gifts at the same place for the same people, your Christmas meal is the same meal. It's just got maybe a little different setting to it. But nonetheless, you just do what you've always done. You'll have the kind of Christmas like you've always had. And my prayer for each and every one of you in the house today, and those of you that are joining us online, is that this Christmas will be different from all others. And that your giving back to others will make an incredible difference. You know, just a few days ago, I received a letter from our missionary, Randy Hurst, that is responsible for communicating the needs of AGWM, which stands for Assemblies of God World Missions. And in this letter, he told me about how in Sri Lanka, they are going through such a tough time. Not only has the weather brought about, you know, some horrible flooding and difficult times in Sri Lanka, but the war there has left many without fathers, wives without their husbands. Children are being forced into the sex trades as the only way that they can even find enough money to put something on the table to eat. And so he said, "Is there something that you can do to help?" And he said, "You know what you can do? For one thing, for so many dollars a day, you can take and feed a child, and you can feed them three meals a day for just, you know, a simple sum of money." And so we got together with the church board and said, "You know, what should we do?" And I want you to understand, starting this 1st of December through the end of December, there's going to be 3,000 children that we're feeding three meals a day all month long. And then we have other friends that are coming alongside and picking up where we left off. All of this is possible because you've cared, because you wanted to share with the world that is in need through our missions giving. There is 500 gifts that we've sent off to one of the orphanages there in that very same country of Sri Lanka. And these kids have lost their moms, they've lost their dads, many of them to COVID. And as a result of it, there they are without any hope of any kind of a future outside of the life they're now living in these orphanages. And so we sent money so that 500 children will all have a Christmas. And these wives that have lost their husbands, they call them war widows. We sent money to 100 of them so that they too might have something this season and this time of the year. All of this has been sent in the name of Jesus Christ as a result of your love for a lost and dying world. And I want to thank you for loving them and loving on them. And just as we're doing this as a church body in Cuba, this last fall has been a tough time, as you well know, for hurricanes that have come through, not only through Florida, but all up and down through the coasts of like Cuba and Puerto Rico and many other places. And in Cuba, 30 of our churches were literally destroyed. Nothing left of them at all. And because, again, because you care and because you share, we were able to send money so that they could rebuild another church there from the ground up. So I want you to know, you're making a difference. And to corporately make a difference is an exciting thing. But I would love for you to experience that on the personal level this Christmas. Identify someone that is outside of the normal realm of who you would give gifts to. And get your family together and call them out by name and say, here's what we can do. And let everyone, the youngest in the family to the oldest, let everyone have a part in reaching out to this world that surrounds us, neighborhoods that surround us. Because if we don't make a change, our Christmas this year will be like all others. This Christmas, let me encourage you to celebrate God's love. As you're thinking about the celebrations, celebrate the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let this year be a celebration of God's love. Friends, if it were not for God's love, all of us would be on our way to hell with no hope of ever changing the direction at all. But God loved us while we were sinners, and Christ died for us in that sinful state. Let's celebrate God's love this Christmas. Let's celebrate Christ's birth. I love the way the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his only begotten Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those of us that were under the law. I love that old song that says that it's on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Friends, let's celebrate the love of God this Christmas. Let's celebrate Christ's birth. Let's also celebrate our faith. Let's celebrate the fact that we were once lost, but now we are found. That we were lost and now we're saved. Let's make this Christmas a time of celebrating God's love, Christ's birth, your faith. Let me encourage you to witness even through your outdoor decorations. You know, we all have decorations of one sort or another this time of the year. At least most everybody does. If you were to drive by my home, and it's been the same for a lot of years now, one of the things we wanted to make a declaration of what Christmas to us in the Brooks household at our location on Willow Drive, what it really means to us. And so what we did is we bought an outdoor nativity set, and we brought a sign, right down here in our own bookstore at the church that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. And everyone that drives by, they see the manger, they see the baby Jesus, they see the shepherds, they see the whole story being played out. I want my neighbors, and I want those that drive by my house to know that I believe that Christmas is the gift of all gifts when Jesus came into this world, the gift of the Father. It's no wonder Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Friend, we have a gift that is beyond all gifts, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Witness even through your outdoor decorations. Make the main thing the main thing. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your heart and keep your mind focused on the fact this is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to do something that's generous. Generous just like this church body, because you care and because you share. We're able to reach out and bless the people of Sri Lanka, that we've been able to give so that they will have a church once again in Cuba, that these widows will have something this fall and winter time. Do something generous. Let me encourage you to renew or create a new family tradition. Let me tell you about one that we have started, and maybe it'll resonate with you and maybe something you want to do or something similar. We have 7 grandchildren, and the 7 grandchildren, when we would read the scriptures on Christmas Eve, which is the time when we normally open our gifts and get together, we would read out of Luke chapter 2, and it was the Christmas story. Of course, the young ones would get kind of restless, and so Sherry got the idea one day, maybe rather than just reading the Christmas story, maybe we should reenact it. And so if you come to the Brooks household on Christmas Eve, you'll find that we've got old sheets. We've got, you know, crowns that are made, you know, some of them come from Burger King. Others, you know, are made out of drapery. And they're simple. But it's our way of saying, let's reenact the story so that the grandkids can all have a part in it. And it's become such a tradition and such an enjoyable thing that guess what? The grandkids have been asking for weeks, do I get to be Mary? Do I get to be Joseph? No, you get to be a sheep. And all of the roles that you would have in a, you know, just a normal reading of Luke chapter 2, we play out. And what it's done is drawn the young ones in. Let me encourage you to enjoy the music of the season. You know, Caleb, every weekend now, is playing nonstop Christmas music. Let me encourage you, you know, out of all the times, you know, to listen to great Christmas music, I mean, we're in it right now. And some of the messages that are in this new music that is being written is phenomenal, as well as the oldies that we all know and know so well that we can sing along with or hum along with. It's all part of the celebration. Let me encourage you to invite your family and friends and neighbors and coworkers to the upcoming musical. It's called Miraculous. Matter of fact, starting next Sunday, we're starting a brand new series that's going to trail right along with the musical Miraculous. And in it, we're going to talk about the miraculous. The whole story of Christmas is a miraculous story of God's love. And we're going to tell that story. But also coming up on December 9, 10, 11, as well as 16, 17, and 18, is at various times and various days of the weekend so that everyone can have a part and that everyone can invite, everyone can attend one and serve one. Let me encourage you, get involved. Your neighbors, your coworkers, they're much more likely to attend if they know that you are greeting, that you're one that's working in the food court, you're one that's, you know, involved in the set, you're involved in some way. And as you get involved in some way, it's your way of sharing the gospel. with those that you labor with during the week, family members that you love dearly. I'm believing that this Christmas, we're going to see thousands come to Jesus Christ. The story that's being told is the story right from the scriptures. And I'd love for if your parents are still living, I'd love for your parents, if they live in town, I'd love for them to come to know Christ if they do not. Your brothers, your sisters, your nephews and nieces and cousins and the like, I would love for them to come and experience Christ. And that is exactly what miraculous is all about. It's telling the time-old and age-old story of how a Savior came from glory, how he came on a mission, and that mission is to change our lives. Then on Christmas weekend, on the 24th and on the 25th, let me tell you how that's going to happen this year. On Christmas weekend, at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve, two services that day. So on Christmas Eve at 2 and again at 4. And then on Sunday morning, there'll be one service at 9:30. All three services for the weekend are the same. And we designed it that way so that no matter what one's schedule is, if they open their gifts on Christmas, you know, and that's just really a difficult time for them to get into the house of the Lord, you know, they'll be able to take and be at the 2 o'clock and the 4 o'clock service the day before. You know, if Christmas Eve is the time when your celebration takes place, then on Christmas morning at 9:30. So we've got a weekend that's planned so that you can bring your loved ones. They'll hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're believing that many, many, many of your friends, of your loved ones, of your family members will find Christ as we celebrate together the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, all of eternity will not be long enough to say thank you for the gift of all gifts. We join in with the Apostle Paul in saying, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift that never wears out. The gift that never grows old. The gift that keeps on giving, changing our lives, giving us peace of mind, giving us a hope for the future. Lord, in the midst of all the chaos that surrounds us, not only in the nations of the world, but in our own city. Lord, as we see the mass shootings and, Lord, the loss of innocent life, we see the frustration of so many. Lord, I pray that you'll use us corporately by the way we live our lives. Even as they drive by our homes, that there be a little message and the very fact that as they drive by, they can see that we believe that this is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, may they hear as we go down the street from home to home and just with a song in our heart, singing a carol that might resonate with someone that would literally begin to put them on a new direction, a new trajectory. Lord, to the ones that have become depressed and discouraged, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help all of us to live out this Christmas in such a way that it brings hope, brings vitality to others. Lord, I pray in these next couple of moments, Lord, as we just cover some of the friends and family members that we would love to see come to Christ this Christmas. I pray, Lord, as we cover them in prayer, Lord, that there would be a tug that would begin inside of their hearts and lives at the very moment the prayer is offered up. I pray, Lord, that lives would be transformed. Help us, Lord, I pray, to write that note to someone that's influenced our lives. And, Lord, that just as they've encouraged us, that we can have a part in reciprocation and encouraging them. Lord, not knowing when they too will breathe their very last. Help us, Lord, not to put off these tugs of the Holy Spirit and to be responsible in doing what you've called us to do. So I thank you, Lord, that this Christmas can be like no other Christmas. And Lord, knowing that we've got several weeks now ahead of us, we're excited about putting into action, you know, some of the very practical things we've talked about. And I thank you, Lord, for the results that will take place, not only in our friends' lives and families' lives, but in our lives as well. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand together.